Wine and Cheese presents the Uncorked Podcast. Nothing beats a failure but a trier. This statement is true for Jasmine Cooper. Growing up, most of us only imagine a life full of success, everlasting friendships, joy, and fulfilling intimate relationships. But when life doesn't go according to our plans, we tend to lose ourselves chasing what we thought should have been. So, what does life look like for the woman who once had it all but lost herself in the pursuit of love? In this episode, I sit down with Jasmine Cooper to talk about her autobiography, Puzzled, Piecing My Life Back Together. Filled with emotion, vulnerability, betrayal, embarrassment, deceit, loss of trust, and broken promises, Jasmine walks us through her journey of what it looked like to be broken and what it took to find the strength to change the outcome of her circumstances.
Thank you, Natalie. Thank you so much for having me.
Sure. So we met at a Galentine's Day event in February of this year.
Yes.
And what I loved about the icebreaker moment of the event is that the hostess, Crystal Glass, wanted us to walk around, introduce ourselves to people we didn't know, and strike up conversation with some random questions. But in our conversation, we realized that we had a lot in common, and you had this new book that you were about to launch, and that was, I don't know, just amazing to me. And we said, okay, we got to keep in touch because I've got this podcast, and I want you to talk all about your book. The background of your book I just thought was so inspiring.
Thank you.
And I wanted to share it with our listeners.
Thank you so much.
So before we get into that, tell me a bit about who you are and how you define yourself.
Hello, everyone. Again, as Natalie said, my name is Jasmine Cooper. I am from Washington, D.C. I am a mother of a five-year-old daughter. I'm a graduate from the finest HBCU, Delaware State University. I'm a staff accountant at a nonprofit in Washington, D.C., and I'm also a new author. And I would define myself, I say, as a spiritual individual because I literally trust God with everything that I do right now in my life. I never really understood the power of God until I was able to praise Him during, like, a tough time when I just literally hit rock bottom. And I'm like, wow, I'm still being able to praise Him, still being able to give joy. Like, this is nothing but God. So I would definitely define myself as spiritual.
Jasmine, you're not yet 30 years old. How old are you?
I am 27.
27?
Yes.
Going on 28 next
month. Going on
month.
28.
At 28, you've already, or almost 28,
yes,
you've already written an autobiography.
Yes.
Don't you have so much more life to live before you write an autobiography? Tell me, it must have been really important for you to get this message out. So tell me, what compelled you to write this story and share it with the world?
I feel like God just placed it on my heart to turn a diary into a book. Basically, I was just journaling every day, journaling every night. And then, I don't know, it was like one day I went to church and the sermon was about being a blessing to others. And I was just like, God, I gotta get this story out. And also, I just feel like we as women, we just feel like, you know, we can't relate to someone. We never can talk to people. We're always trying to, like, mask our feelings and our emotions in. And I just wanted to be able to let the ladies know that, you know, hey, I've been there too. I've been through a lot. You can talk to me. And I just wanted to be the guinea pig for the ladies because, you know, we all, like I said, we always think that we have to put on a mask when it's okay. It's okay to say that, you know, I've been through this too. And it's okay to be the guinea pig for another woman so they can have someone to relate to.
Mm-hmm. I love it. So I assume then this book is for ladies.
This book is for ladies. Don't get me wrong, fellas. If you would like to read, I would love for you to read, of course. However, it is intended for the ladies. You can be a teenager. You can be a woman. You can be an older woman. Just ladies.
Okay.
Yes.
Ladies only.
Ladies only.
So at the time of this recording, the book has not yet launched. It's launching next month. But I've seen via social media that it's already received an overwhelming response. You're hosting a book signing next month that's already at capacity, which is awesome. Congratulations.
Yes. Thank you.
Why do you think that women are so eager for the tips you have to share with them in this book?
This is very humbly said, but I feel like people love me. Like, I'm a great people's person. I've always been able to, like, talk to people. I'm very vibrant. I'm not shy at all. As you can see, when I first met you, I was like, hey, girl. So, yeah, I think that they know that the message behind this book is with good intentions. Like, they know that I'm coming with a strong message that they will be able to relate to. And they know that anything that I do is done with excellence. So I know that they're like, okay, Jasmine's coming out with a book. I know it's going to be good. I know it's going to be dope. I know that it's going to inspire. So yeah, that's why they're waiting. Okay.
All right. So I was able to, listeners, I was able to get a sneak peek of what's coming in the book. And it explains that you went from having it all to losing yourself in the pursuit of love.
Yes.
And I know that many of us can relate to
absolutely,
that.
Absolutely.
So can you share a bit about this time in your life? What was going on?
This was a time where I was extremely broken. I was extremely bitter. I was extremely sad. I was mad. I didn't know who I was as a person anymore. You know the saying, like, I was alive, but I wasn't living? I literally was like a walking dead person. I just was doing things that didn't make any kind of sense. I was trying to make someone else happy when forgetting that I had to be happy first. So I was just basically trying to pull from an empty glass. And I can't give you what I don't have. So I was basically pulling something out of me that I honestly did not have inside of me. So it was a tough time, but I'm here.
Still standing.
Still standing.
How did you know you'd lost yourself? Because sometimes women were just operating on autopilot and we don't even know we've completely lost ourselves. So what was that signal for you?
I knew that I lost myself when I started doing things that I knew was wrong, but I did it anyway just to please someone else. I knew for a fact that it probably would be detrimental to me, but again, I was just trying to make myself be so important to somebody else, you know, just trying to make myself available to them in their life when, you know, maybe there were signs that I wasn't supposed to be in their life. So I knew that I was lost then. I knew that I was lost when I just wasn't happy with myself. You know, I would wake up every day in a funk for literally no reason. Again, like I said, I'm so vibrant. I'm just a very people's person. My attitude was funky. You know, I just was, had a nasty, nasty, nasty persona of myself. So I knew for a fact, like, I'm out of it. I'm not myself right now. This is, I got to do something about it.
So then how did you find the strength and the strategies to piece yourself back together?
The strengths, I would say, was my daughter. I did not want her to see me in the state of mind that I was in. I was in a very bad depressed state, mm-hmm. and it was starting to like wear on her. Like she could see me down, like she would come to me, she would just start crying, like laying on me like, "Mommy, what's going on?" So I'm just like, okay, I have to be the role model for her. Mm-hmm. I want her to be better than I am. Excuse me. So I used her as a strength to really like pull myself together and really get back to who I was. Mm-hmm. As far as my strategies, ladies, you guys will have to read the book.
Of course.
To see what my strategies were to actually piece my life back together. But I will say that I was lost, but I am definitely found. If you go to church on Sundays, you know that saying.
Amazing grace.
Amazing grace, definitely.
Having pieced yourself back together, mm-hmm. As a result of being broken and lost in this relationship, mm-hmm. did you then in the relationship, how is that now? Give us an update on where that is.
I did end the relationship. However, the person that I was in the relationship with, we are really great friends mm-hmm. now. I just found it in my heart to be able to forgive because, again, God forgives us. So how can I not forgive someone else? And also, if I did not forgive, that would just be a burden on my heart. Like, I would still weigh the heavy weight of the bitterness, the sadness, all of that stuff. So we're really great friends. We talk, I don't know, every other day.
Oh, wow, good.
Yes, we talk every other day. I still respect him as a person, of course. I will support him, of course, if he ever needed me to. So we're in great standings, good space with each other, good relationship with each other. And I'm thankful for that, honestly. I am.
I'm glad to hear you say that you forgave him.
Yes.
And I'm surprised to hear that you all are still, you could maintain your friendship, which yes. I think is awesome. I think it's rare that mm-hmm. people can compartmentalize mm-hmm. Their relationships and their emotions. Mm-hmm. So I applaud you for that because,
thank you.
You know, for some, forgiveness does not always mean reconciliation.
It doesn't.
I'm also glad to hear you mention forgiveness because I heard this quote that said, resentment is like taking poison and mm-hmm. waiting for the other person to die.
Mm.
So you can literally walk around resenting someone and, mm-hmm. you know, wanting revenge or just yes. being angry and bitter.
Yes.
And you are holding yourself captive to yes. those emotions.
You know, they say the biggest revenge is to just be happy. Mm-hmm. That was the biggest revenge for me. Honestly, I didn't want any revenge. I just wanted us to both be happy at the end of the day.
Yeah.
And it seems that that's what it is now. I'm very happy in my life now. He's very happy and I'm very happy for him.
If you could share 3 tips with women who are searching for how to learn to love themselves, mm-hmm. what would you say they'd be?
Number one, mm-hmm. I would say to allow yourself to be vulnerable. I think that us women, we try to be Superman all the time when we're naturally born vulnerable. Like, we're vulnerable human beings. We need to allow ourselves to be able to, like, flush all the toxins out of our bodies when we're being vulnerable. It's a time for us to, you know, self-reflect, self-evaluate, ask ourselves what's important, what's not important. And it's also a time where we can just be honest with ourselves to say, like, hey, you know, you're being dumb right now, or and not be penalized. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, if we say those things to other people, and of course they're quick to judge us. But if we allow ourselves to be vulnerable with ourselves, then we won't be penalized. And don't penalize yourself, ladies. It's okay. Like, it's really okay. That's number one.
And I just want to put a pin in that because I feel like we're on the same wavelength.
Yes.
I have said on the podcast a few times that mm-hmm. I absolutely adore Dr. Brené Brown, mm-hmm. who has done this whole study on vulnerability.
Mm-hmm.
And if you break down vulnerability,
mm-hmm.
to be vulnerable means that you are exposed, right?
Yes, absolutely.
And you are open to attack.
Yes.
But you're also open to amazing other things.
Yes,
definitely. But you're in a state where your walls are down, there's no defense.
Yes.
When you are in a state of vulnerability and you decide to act on whatever or do whatever, decide whatever, you have then turned vulnerability into confidence.
Yes,
definitely. Because you're saying, yes, I'm vulnerable right now. Not weak, but yes, I'm vulnerable right now. I'm going to bear it all. I'm going to be open and honest, and I'm going to communicate my true feelings.
Absolutely.
And if you don't accept it, that's okay.
That's right.
That is like the ultimate form of confidence.
Yes, it is.
So, ladies, when you talk about loving yourself, I love Jasmine's first point of allowing yourself to be vulnerable.
Yes.
Because at the end of the day, the worst thing that can happen is that you're rejected.
That's it. That's it. That's it. You can come back from rejection.
Oh, yeah.
And rejection doesn't necessarily mean that it's not for you. It may just be that time.
Right.
It may not be time for you to do something, or it may not be time for you to have something. So rejection is not always a bad thing. I had to learn that too.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Secondly, I would say that although we do need to allow ourselves to be vulnerable, we also need to put expiration dates on that as well. And I say this because I caught myself doing this before I realized, like, hey, I needed to get it together. I just would, like I said, I would just wake up in this bad funk, and I kept it going on for at least 3 years. And then I'm just like, well, am I going to live the rest of my life like this? Like, I can't go on like this. This is not how I want to live. So put an expiration date on it, ladies. I mean, because there's life before other things that happen. You know, you just start remembering who you were or who you are or who you want to be. Thirdly, I would say to not become the person that has hurt you.
Oh, that's good.
And I say this because us as women, once we get hurt and then we, you know, we start to get back to ourselves and we think that, okay, I'm just going to put this shield over me and I'm going to do people the way that they've done me. And in all honesty, that you're doing nothing but hurting yourself in the end. Because what you put in the atmosphere will surely come back to you.
You're right.
So if you're hurting people, people will hurt you back. And that's just, I've seen it with my own two eyes. Like, I try my best so hard to do people, I try to treat them good, because even if they won't treat me good, I know maybe the next person will, or maybe not even that person, but somewhere along the way, someone will do me the way that I've done other people.
Mm-hmm. I like that third point, because we are in this era right now where it's so cool to be a savage.
It's so cool.
And I get it. I get it. It's like, it's empowering and it's taking on this persona that, you know, I've got boundaries and you can't hurt me anymore. Mm-hmm. And, you know, before you hurt me, I'm going to hurt you. And I'm going to have one up on you.
Yep.
And that is just not the basis of a healthy relationship, a healthy individual. And you're not going to grow much from that space.
Right.
So,
I totally agree.
Listen, I love Rihanna. It is nice to blast her music.
Yes, it is.
Especially after somebody, you know, pushes your buttons or you know, makes you want to go to that place. Mm-hmm. Her music is definitely therapeutic in that way, but I want you to realize that that's just music. It's entertainment. Just music. It should not be your way of life.
It shouldn't be.
Because it's going to be unproductive.
We have to really think about the things that we're going to do before we actually do them. Again, because it can be detrimental to yourself. Yeah. Trying to hurt other people, you can be hurting yourself.
I absolutely agree. So now that you've bounced back from this place of brokenness,
yes,
what practices have you put in place to protect yourself from being broken again?
One, I've made my relationship with God very personal. I try to attend church almost every Sunday. If I can't attend physically, I'll stream it or, you know, listen to it online. I'm able to really connect with God and tell him everything that I'm feeling, even if I feel like I'm upset with him. Mm-hmm. That's how personal my relationship is with God right now.
It's funny you say that because in our last podcast, I spoke with a woman who's been married almost 9 years. Mm-hmm. And she said at the foundation of her marriage is friendship. Mm-hmm. And she can be mad at her husband, but she still wants to talk to her friend.
That's right.
So I like that, you know, again, we talk about compartmentalizing relationships, right?
Yes.
And we might get angry with God. We might get frustrated and trying to figure out what his plan and overall purpose is.
Absolutely.
But because of the relationship you have with him, because you know what he's done for you in the past, because it's so personal, you know that you can't be but so mad because his way is better, right?
That's right.
Ultimately, he has your best interest
at heart. He does. Yes, he does. Also, I've been able to just really fall in love with myself again. And what I mean by that is I literally value everything that I do. Like, I don't search for other people to worship my grounds. I worship my own grounds. Mm-hmm. Anything that I do, I think that it's the best thing out because it's mine. Mm-hmm. I put my time in it. I put my efforts into it. And I think that's another thing that us ladies, we do. We look for other people to validate what we're doing or validate what we're saying in order for it to be, you know, this big thing. And it's like, maybe they don't see what you're doing. Maybe they can't see your vision, but you see it. Which is so crazy because I attended Revival last night and the reverend that was preaching, he said that you don't have to have eyesight to be able to see. You just need a vision, which a vision can turn into reality if you can just hear things, if you can just speak things. You don't even need your eyes to see things. So I love myself so much right now. It's crazy. Like, it may even come off as a little cocky, but I'm like, no, it's not cocky. I'm just really in love with myself right now. So I would say those are the two things that I've done to be able to protect myself from being broken again. Because maybe I just really didn't love myself the way that I should have. And I think that the way that I love myself now, I could never deal with anything I've ever dealt with in the past.
Mm-hmm. Are there any self-care practices that you put in place?
I do. There are self-care practices. I get massages. I love to keep myself up. My hair, my nails. Another thing that I do, I love to do facials. I do facials every Sunday. I have to do it on every Sunday. And I have my cucumbers, I have my wine, and I'm just sitting there, I'm just relaxing, maybe doing a little bit of meditation. I'm just like in my zone on Sundays. After church, I come home, put dinner on, and then I'm just relaxed.
I love that. We at our very first retreat, one of our speakers said that she, on Sundays, when she gets off of work, because she's a masseuse, so she's always, you know, relaxing people. But on Sundays, when she comes home from work, she said she drops all her clothes and all her bags. Her husband already has a bath waiting for her.
Oh, how nice.
I know, right? But this is a part of her self-care is he makes sure the kids, you know, are, you know, occupied so that she can go and take what she's called a goddess bath.
Oh, okay.
And she has like rose petals and bubbles and candles and music that really just relax her. And every Sunday, that's her ritual, is to take a goddess bath. And I wish women would just take 30 minutes to an hour,
yes,
maybe once a week.
Definitely.
To really just relax and tap in whatever way it feels most comfortable to them. But I love that.
Thank
Facials
you.
On Sundays.
Facials on Sundays.
So, Jasmine, I think this has been just such a great conversation.
Yes,
I
it has.
Am so excited to read your book.
Thank you
I'm
so much.
I'm going to offer to one of our listeners a free copy of
yes.
your book.
Yes.
But in the meantime, I want you to tell us how we can keep in touch with you. And for those who do want to purchase the book, how they can go about doing
Absolutely,
so.
Absolutely, ladies. You guys can keep in contact with me. My email is Jasmine, J-A-S-M-I-N-E. Letter C as in cat 90 at yahoo.com. You guys can reach me on Instagram at strictly business with a Z. My book will be available May 19th on Amazon, Barnes and Nobles, and also my website, which is jasminencooper.com.
Perfect. Perfect.
Yes.
And I will put those links in the show notes for
Thank
this
you
episode.
So much, Natalie. It was a pleasure being here with you.
Likewise. And I am just looking forward to reading the book, learning more about your backstory and how you have really just turned a trial in your life into a triumph.
Thank you so much, Natalie.
Thank you.
Ladies, it is my hope that you were informed and inspired by that last conversation. And until we speak again, feel free to follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at For Every Wine. That's FOREVERYWHINE. And if you're ready to join us by starting or joining a local branch of Wine and Cheese, where you are welcomed in a safe space with like-minded women to whine about the stress of your life, yet cheese or smile about your blessings, feel free to visit our website, foreverywine.org. Click on the Join Us tab, and we can get you started within a local branch. Until next time, remember, for every wine, there is a cheese.